reading the Isaiah passage this week, and I remembered a story from a few years ago about Christian the Lion. Do you all remember Christian the Lion? No? Well, I have a clip to show you to remind you of this story, and I'll have Sean play it now. Thank you, Sean. So a few years ago, this footage from 1970 was rediscovered and picked up by several news outlets. It's a reunion between a lion and two Australian men. And so I learned a little bit more about the story behind this video. The two men that you saw are Ace and John, and they came from Australia to live in London after they finished university. The year was 1969, a time when, in British history, apparently, you could go to the department store and find a section for exotic animals at Harrods. Ace and John were just shopping one day when they wandered into the exotic animals section and noticed these two lion cubs, only 3 months old, living in this tiny cage in the pet department. They knew all about lions from living in Australia, and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. So they did what I think any of us would do. They brought the lion cub home and raised it in their basement apartment in downtown London. And over the next year, they lived with this lion who they named Christian. So Christian the Lion. But it was clear that as Christian grew to over 185 pounds, that he would not be able to live in London forever. After a year of being raised by Ace and John, he was turned over to a wildlife refuge and rehabilitated into the savannas of Kenya. The roommates visited Christian a few times over the next couple years, but they always watched from a distance to let him have his space. But in 1972, a couple years after Christian was brought into the wild, the two men stationed themselves in a place where the cat could see them. And what happens next was caught on film by a film crew. And then someone uploaded it as a video to YouTube 40 years later. And in that 1 year, it was watched 14 million times. 14 million times. And I think you can probably see why. This isn't a typical relationship between wild predators like lions and people. In fact, when I saw the lion running towards John and Ace, I wasn't exactly sure what was going to happen next. Because it's a story about things being upended, about something deep within us, an expectation that's undone. A world of conquered and conquerors, of predator and prey, of natural enemies is dismantled before our eyes. It's no wonder that people watch this clip in fascination again and again. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. That's the world that Isaiah prophesies. This world that is undone, shaken loose from violence. It's a world where the entire order, the very natural order in which we live, is upset. People live not as they are. Lions consist on diets of plants, and toddlers take their pet bear around the block for a walk. And this is the order that comes near, trailing in the wake of John the Baptist. Prepare the way. The one who is to come, he is the fulfillment of Isaiah. In other words, he is filled up, full of the kingdom of God, a kingdom where a baby kisses their pet asp goodnight while bears and cows munch on grass next to one another in a field. But to live as Jesus, to also be filled up, fulfilled as he is fulfilled, we also have to come undone. First, we have to be emptied out. And this is where John comes in, raging over the wadis of the desert, munching on locusts, looking like a wild man. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths. Repent, change your mind. Find a better way to live for life. And then John is dunking these people in the water, baptizing them as they're confessing their sins. And who should come along? But the teachers, the educated ones, the righteous ones. And John's anger erupts. "You brood of vipers," he growls at them. "Who warned you to flee the coming wrath? You come with the poison of piety, seeking holy words. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Advent is a season for us to be shaken up and shaken out. Sometimes that emptying happens to make room for fulfillment. Sometimes we have to be shaken loose. In 1945, the Jesuit priest Alfred Delp wrote a series of Advent reflections. He wrote them from prison 4 months before he was hung by the Nazis for high crimes against the state. Delp was part of this movement. He saw in Germany that the Third Reich was disintegrating before their eyes, losing the war. And so this group of people met to imagine a new society, to imagine the world that would come into being after the Nazis were gone. "Here's the message of Advent," he wrote. "Faced with him who is last, the world begins to shake. Only when we do not cling to false securities will our eyes be able to see the last one and get to the bottom of things. If we are inwardly unshaken, inwardly incapable of being genuinely shaken, if we become obstinate and hard and superficial and cheap, God will instead intervene in world events and teach us what it means to be placed in this agitation, to be stirred inwardly." Advent, he writes, is a time when we ought to be shaken and brought to the full realization of ourselves. It's quite a shock to discover yourself. But it seems that this is what many people who came to John were able to see. They hadn't yet built up this false sense of their superiority and their rightness. They were able to be shocked by their failure and their own complicity in the dying world. It seems, though, that those teachers, the righteous ones, they had to be shaken loose by the words of John. Until they emptied out their own belief in their purity and rightness, of their private perfections and stringent moral requirements of others, without this, there was no room for the kingdom of God to fill them up. As we reflect on John the Baptist this week, I think it's fascinating that the thing that sets Christianity apart from everything else in our world is actually our understanding of sin. I don't believe that the church has a monopoly on goodness or morality. I have seen enough to prove that wrong. We see this borne out every day in the actual character of Christians around us, in the legacy of church, in our profound failure to be the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. We often look to those outside the church to teach us how to live the gospel. But here's what Christians do have. We are particularly attuned to our failure, to our inability to be shaken loose from our participation in the brokenness of human life. We require outside intervention. We simply do not have it within ourselves to be made right. No amount of positive thinking or self-actualizing can cure the disease of this world into which we are interwoven. Of course, people outside the church understand that we lie and steal and cheat, and there's something wrong with this, and we need to be rectified and made right with individuals. But it's in the story of God that we confess that all of our individual acts and misdeeds are part of this deep discord built into the universe itself. Our individual lives are stitched into the fabric of disease and death, subject to bondage and decay, as we read in Romans. That's what the Bible means when it talks about sin. And it's through a miracle of love, an absolute miracle of love, an intervention of love, that God enters the world in Jesus Christ and finally and once and for all sets us free from the power of sin and death. John comes blasting in from the desert, wild with prophecy, filled up with the visions of God's intervening love. He comes to shake us loose, to shake us up. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Advent is a time when we ought to be shaken and brought to the full realization of ourselves. I reflected on those words from Alfred Delp over and over again this week. A full realization of ourselves. After spending time with these writings, I watched that clip of Christian the Lion one more time, and I realized something about myself. My fascination was not just for the world turned upside down, where a lion released from captivity recognizes those who parented him and rescued him from a department store. For a moment, I was afraid. I could imagine myself standing where John and Ace stood, watching that lion come over the hill and race towards me, because it isn't clear what will happen next. That embraces relief, but I just as much expected an attack. I was prepared for violence. A full realization of ourselves. In Advent, we are called to attend to the new order that John ushers in, an unraveling of violence and the expectation of violence in ourselves. Friends, it is unpredictable and wild. It will require those of us who followed Jesus, those who followed after him in the New Testament, to continue to trust that this kingdom of God that is barreling towards us over the ridge comes in joy, that the one who comes in poverty, in the vulnerable life of an infant, that this one comes towards us to free all of creation and us with it once and for all. Amen.